Welcome to Local Matters. I am Louis Matheny, your host, and I have the privilege of being in the recording studio today with Phil Schaller, who is the director, if I'm correct, of Putnam County Library. And Putnam County Libraries, Phil and I have discussed before, has a long and varied history and quite literally is a great institution among great institutions. Library after library I could discuss, including the main branch at the New York Public Library, but each and every one is essential to the core of our culture and society and country, quite frankly. And I think that might be not at all an overstatement as that comes off the top of my head. And the history of this one is quite unique. And Phil and I were talking about its humble beginning, so I'll let him take it from here. So, Phil, tell us your history that you know about how we became Putnam County Library.
Right on. So my understanding of the Putnam County Library system as it is it was started, I want to say, in the 30s by a book group called the Book Lovers Club by Clara Cox Epperson. And that turned into, I guess, her house became kind of the storehouse for all the books. And it eventually grew into the public library. And then it moved to a different building, which I think you mentioned was the old hospital.
Yes.
So that's correct, yeah. And then in 1973, it moved to the current building where it's at on Broad Street.
You know, and this institution, like many in small towns and in places like Cookeville, which is known as a micropolitan in large cities, very often involve the generosity and the benevolence of somebody who simply took it upon themselves to start something in order to bring everybody together. And I had the great privilege of working with one of the earlier librarians who had been around very nearly since the beginning, named Clara Starnes. And Clara Starnes had under her tutelage Sarah Whitaker, and I could name a long list of librarians that I worked with, but each with the same thing in mind that as the poster used to promote in, I believe, the 1970s, which had the acronym RIF, RIF, Reading is Fun. Reading was fun then, and there was a time in which we all started conversations as a sort of, they would say, icebreaker by simply saying, read any good books lately? And we don't really hear that much anymore, and that speaks to the changing.
No, it's more like, what have you watched on Netflix recently?
Right, yes. And I read and stay pay close attention to what's going on about reading and what our reading skills are in this country in particular. And I'm happy to hear at least that there's this topic is called, you know, the trend of reading, or reading as a hot trend, hot trendy new thing. And while for me personally, that I feel a little dismay in hearing the word trend attached to it, it just simply means that people are starting to read more again, or I hope. And I'm wondering, you know, for you in the time that you've been at the library, what changes you've seen since you came there, and what the library's role is in addressing the public's need for reading or information.
Well, that's a long answer, I guess. What I've noticed is primarily, so back in the day, I guess you could say, libraries were storehouses of books and storehouses of information. So people came to a library, they had a question they didn't have an answer to, they would ask a librarian. Librarians would look it up, research it, find the answer, and give it to them. Or they would come to a library to check out books to read. Now with the advent of the internet, and in particular search engines, there's no longer really that need to ask a librarian a question. You can just, at your fingertips, get the answer to anything you want. So libraries have transformed more into common grounds, into social networking places, and social services, basically. So libraries have programming for kids and adults. We have event spaces that people can rent out, but really they're free to borrow out. We have, like I said, the programmings that involve entertainment, education. We're try very hard to help with job searches, resume building, that sort of thing. Libraries now are very into helping the community get what it needs.
As you were saying this, I was thinking to myself, in some ways, we see that community centers in some places, especially smaller towns are starting to fade as there is a version of the internet and the various technology that we have making us in-person antisocial people on some level, both kids and adults, a loss of social skills, and so therefore the need for a community center where people come together to commune.
Right.
Interestingly enough, I think I'm hearing you say we're seeing this more at the library.
And libraries are taking over that role as the community center.
Well, that's fascinating.
And it also, especially in rural places like Putnam County and the surrounding counties, you know, I said with the advent of the internet, people felt like they no longer needed to go to the library, but not everybody has a computer at home. Not everybody has access to the internet. And even if they can't afford the internet, they can't necessarily, they might not actually have the ability to have internet access where they live.
Right.
So one of the things that we've seen is that, you know, 40 to 50% of our patrons are actually coming to the library to use our internet service, to use our public access computers and use our internet.
You know, my aunt, Jean Evelyn Warren, was a volunteer at the library for 20 years along with her husband, and he was a very quiet, not antisocial, but very much like being to himself. So he was placed in the book repair section of the library, which was in the basement. And when I was volunteering there, as you and I have discussed, I began at age 10 as a volunteer at the old Clara Cox Epperson Library in its location, which, as we said, was formerly the Cookeville City Hospital. I continued on after the required amount of time because I was earning my community service badge for scouting.
Very nice.
And I think I had a 2 or 3 week period, and I oddly was able to read by the age of 3, which absolutely on some level drove people crazy trying to keep up with my needs for reading. So placing me in the library was a gift to both myself and the library. And these wonderful women who were all very matronly figures by that time were kind of A, in awe, and B, very generous and kind in their support of my sort of explosive energy. And so therefore, when we moved from that location, and when we moved, by the way, we took all of the books that we had and put them on book carts and rolled them onto the back of a pickup truck up planks. And my responsibility was to sit in the bed of the pickup truck long before we paid attention to safety issues for children and make sure that none of the carts flipped over the side of the truck or books fell out and that kind of thing as we moved a short distance across town. And then with my still explosive energy, I was given the responsibility of being what you were sort of referring to as the reference librarian. We didn't have a dedicated reference librarian, and I was always raising my hand saying, may I do this? So I think that we're also talking about demographics in as much as most young people, if they can afford a computer, are computer savvy enough that they have less of an interest in being on a library computer. And perhaps as far as reading goes and going in and picking up books and taking them back, we're seeing an older demographic. That has a question mark with it. Would you agree or is that too broad a generalization?
Yes and no. The demographic that mostly lacks going to library, or I should say the demographic that that is rarest seen at the library is probably the 18 to 35 year old single adult. Because like you said, they have their tablets at home, they have, you know, their e-readers or what have you. So, or their computers. So they don't feel like there's a need to go.
Let me ask a quick question. You're talking with regards to reading. As I said earlier, I'm talking to the director of the Putnam County Library, Phil Schaller, and he's answering some great questions that I've had. So back to the answer to that, are you talking about reading specifically or computers?
I'm talking about in general, just coming to the library.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have a lot of parents that come in with kids. They utilize the children's library a lot. They'll get tons of books at a time. There's actually a study that shows that if there's a certain number of books, I think the number is 100 or 200 books in the home by the time the child's age is 5, that their chance of being successful in life skyrockets. I don't know the exact figures right now, but just having books in the home for a child is incredibly beneficial to their learning and to their chances in life in general. So we have a lot of parents that come in with young children to get books. And then we have some young adults that come in as well. But that usually stops around college age. Kids go into college, they get immersed in studying and in doing that. You know, they go to their college libraries, So they kind of fade from us. And then after that, if they have kids, they'll come back. And then after that, we see more of like the seniors that, that come in and utilize our services.
That's
that
interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Unless of course you don't have internet at home, and then we see, right. we see tons of people in their mid-20s and mid-30s that don't have internet that come
right.
in.
Right. You know, that's in a way what we're saying is if libraries can continue in the way that they are as being essential to communities, the question just remains simply in how to get somebody in the door. And I think that's kind of what you're saying, you know, who's coming in the door and at mm-hmm. what rate. And that's the great thing that the library does is provide a series of events and community-minded things that bring people together so that you become this community center. And I think that's a wonderful thing. That, I must say, in all the years I've been gone from the library, is something we did not have or see as much. We had a meeting room, the same meeting room you still have, and we had an on-and-off film series in which we would play books that had been adapted into film mm-hmm. only. You know, so we'd show something that Mark Twain had written or a Dickens novel that had been done as a film, and people would come in as a second theater, and these were free. We're listening to Phil Schaller as the director of the Putnam County Library, but something else that is essential for us to listen to are our sponsors who make this program possible. So we'll listen to the sponsors and be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm Lewis Matheny, your host. And again, my privilege, quite frankly, is to be able to talk to the director of the Putnam County Library, with which I had an association for many years, starting at age 10 as a volunteer, where I worked for many years, first as a volunteer, part-time employee, full-time employee, and from there went to work for the state regional library, which operated the bookmobile. And many of these services were made possible by supporters, including the board of directors and an organization called Friends of the Library. And the Friends of the Library really are friends, loyal allies to the library. Is that a fair statement?
They are, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and what is their purpose and objective, would you say?
They're a 501c3 nonprofit. Their main purpose and objective is to be, as their name suggests, Friends of the Putnam County Library. They raise money that in turn helps us do things at the library, buy materials. They will help us purchase other things, furniture, various other necessities that we'll need to function the library. They run a book sale every month. It's the first Saturday of every month. And then half of those proceeds go directly back to the library, and those usually are used to purchase materials. And then periodically we'll give them a wish list of things that we need, and they don't hesitate to help us out with those. They will apply for grants to help us with other things. They support our summer reading program, which is a huge benefit because our budget doesn't really support that on its own. So without their help on the summer reading program, we wouldn't be able to do half the things that we are able to do. And they do various fundraising events over the course of the year. Their most notable is the Dinner with an Author event, which is actually it's a really great evening where they bring in a famous author and they'll talk and they have dinner and wine. And it's quite a nice evening, actually.
Sounds like it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I had met you by the time I was invited in for what was called Donuts with an Author.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yes.
As a children's book writer and illustrator, it coincided with the release of my last book. And that's how I came to know the current Friends of the Library mm-hmm. and was asked to come in to read to the kids. And for me, reading to the kids, I love writing. I love illustrating. But when it comes down to connecting with the kids, and therefore you have the opportunity to see, as we were talking about earlier, who's coming in the door of the library, and the diversity of the group of children that were there ranged from children that were just enraptured and listening, and those that raised their hands and added information to what I had discussed, which was a book that was focused on nature. And I was enthralled to think that these readers are actually at a very young age absorbing information and learning. And again, that's essential to all communities, that they're not just reading, but they're learning.
Yeah, we got some brilliant kids here in Putnam County.
Yes.
We have a very thriving homeschool community here as well, which I think helps that. Our kids are great.
Yes, absolutely. And then you have a board which guides you. And many years ago, the person I remembered who was there for years that you may or may not have heard of or worked with was Ann Lowe. Does that name ring a bell?
No, that was before my day.
Oh, there are so many iconic figures, I think. When people set about positioning themselves in these situations in which they are simply wanting to be civic supporters and they're generous, I think, both with time, a thought, and as you were saying, what is very essential is money, and therefore the funding of the library has come through friends of the library. And I wasn't that aware that that's part of what they did. So they're very much a complex, however small or large, institution mm-hmm. that's involved with your great complex institution.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
Such is America, full of complex institutions.
This is an institution we all want to be in. Some years ago, I think that Groucho Marx was quoted as talking about country clubs and saying, something to the effect of not wanting to be invited to a club where they would let somebody like him in. And I don't know if it's his quote, but marriage is a great institution if you like being institutionalized. In this particular case, the institution is one in which we all who love to read love to be institutionalized, so to speak. And the library has grown in leaps and bounds over the years. And I can remember when we moved into the location, the entire basement was completely unfinished, including dirt floors and no electricity. Mm-hmm. And so for me, as an avid cave explorer as a kid, I got to go down into the basement and, you know, nice. Explore the library. But every inch of that now is occupied. Am I correct?
That is correct. And don't forget, we also have 3 branch libraries, too. We have a branch in every city in Putnam County, one in Allgood, Baxter, and in Monterey.
So that I recall, and
that as well.
My association with those libraries was when I later went to drive the bookmobile, and those were branches of the, well, they were branches of the Putnam County Library, but they were our main outlets for the bookmobile to first deliver books in Putnam County. And from there, we would go into remote parts of the country where long before computers, and in a period of time in which people still sought educations long after they'd left high school, especially farmers, especially people that weren't anywhere near a school or a library and had no capacity, perhaps not even a car, to get to a library, we'd leave books in grocery stores, community centers, and homes and churches where people could get to and read books. So the difference in how people read and their need for reading has changed greatly, but it's very encouraging to hear that it's I think in some ways on the upswing again, but most importantly, that the library is still essential to the community where Phil Schaller, who I'm in the studio chatting with, is the director for that library. And how do you work in tandem with those libraries? Those are branches of your library, would you say?
It's all part of the Putnam County Library system. So it's all really one big library, just with little satellite offices, I guess you could call it. A patron could put a book on hold in Monterey, and if it's not in Monterey, but it's in Cookeville, we'll take runs to go bring those books over to Monterey and vice versa. So you can basically access all parts of the library system through each one of the branches.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And I vaguely recall that, and remember also there was a loaning system that allowed us to, at times, I think just within the state of Tennessee, acquire a very difficult to acquire book from another library in another county.
Correct. That's the interlibrary loan system.
That's amazing.
So if there's a book that we don't personally have in our collection, and it's over a year old, you can request an interlibrary loan with some very competent people that will search the state of Tennessee and all our libraries to find that book for you. And then through a courier service that's run by the state library in Nashville, they ship those books around, and we're able to get that book for somebody.
Do you interface with what is currently known as, I think the name would still be Regional Library in Sparta, which runs a bookmobile system, or no, that would be separate from...
That is, so there is a regional library system. It used to be the Upper Cumberland Regional Library. It is now the Falling Water River Regional Library. I want to say there's either 7 or 12 regions in the state of Tennessee, and they're all named after Tennessee rivers. But ours is actually the largest. I think there's 7 regions, and ours covers 12 counties, which is where I got those numbers
when
from.
You say ours, you're referring to
I'm referring to the Falling Water River Regional Library
system. So you work in tandem with them, is that correct?
Yeah, so they're essentially, they are a part of the state library.
Yes.
The state library and archives out of Nashville. And they will, they essentially work kind of as consultants for the public libraries in their respective counties.
Yes.
So if we have an issue, I can contact the regional library and say, hey, what does the state think about this? What do I need to do this way? I work with them with E-Rate, which is how we get reimbursed for, it's a federal program that reimburses us for internet costs and stuff like that. So anything that goes through the state library, any state funding will go through the regional library.
Yes, you know, years ago, that's also where I worked when it was on Manier Street in Cookeville.
Still there.
And we covered a 9-county region, and White County had its own regional library that covered a separate set of counties from us. So it's just simply that it moved to White County and you're a part of that.
Yeah, well, no, it's the regional basis or the base, the library, it's still on Manier Street there in Cookeville.
I see.
But White County is part of that library system, the regional.
I see.
The Falling Water system as well.
So in other words, people are still coming together in these institutions in ways that I thought might fade as the years passed. And that's, for me personally, always exciting to hear. What, by the way, events that you have going on, events that are coming up in the next couple of months, any in particular besides your regular, you have regular monthly and weekly events, do you?
Yeah. So I would recommend just going to our website, www.pclibrary.org. From there, you can go to the events tab and you can find event calendars for every month for all the branches. And you can see all the regular occurring weekly and monthly events that happen on that. It'd be a lot easier than me trying to remember all of the events that we have because we have a ton.
That's great to know. And you know, we're broadcasting this locally and regionally, and then it becomes a podcast. So I do have a handful of listeners outside of the state of Tennessee and near other homes of mine where people are fascinated to hear this podcast about local matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we tie our local community to a larger a country, quite frankly. And a person that's looking for a book that you might have at a library here, are books loaned out of state or just within the state system?
They are just loaned within the state system.
Well, that's also good to know because we have more than enough counties where I have friends who might be listening and would want access to a book that's here and or want to come to visit this library. I think in some levels, what I found stunning in the building of the new library was its architecture and how forward it was in thinking. And it really is a great example of architecture of that period, which was modern and forward thinking, especially compared to the fact that I believe that structure where the original library stood, which was the city hospital, I don't know the history of how it was built, but it very much has a simple old front porch, you know, brick and stone front porch. And in some ways you feel like you're entering a home, which I guess at the time was a comfortable move from the library's original location in the Clara Cox Epperson's home, as we've said. So, for me, it was something out of a movie when, you know, I originally saw this thing, which had its beautiful shapes and plaza in the front. And I think it's held up quite well over the years. I'm assuming you've had some structural issues that have to
we have to patch things all the time. Like I said, the building is from 1973. So at this point, it's a little retro, but it's still pretty cool. We've had to patch a new roof. We actually just got done repainting the entire inside. But it looks great inside and the location couldn't be more perfect.
Right.
With Dogwood Park right there, especially in the summer when the fountain is going, we have kids running back and forth from the library to the park, to the park. It's great. We're right next to the Cookeville History Museum.
Right.
So, people can check that out as well. It's really just a centralized, wonderful location, right near the square. So
I agree, and that's one of the things when you look at big cities like New York City, where I've lived, and you have the Metropolitan Museum of Art sitting on the edge of Central Park. You have the main branch of the New York Public Library at Bryant Park, and it's been great talking with you today. Phil Schaller from the Putnam County Library as the director, and who invites you to visit their website and see more.
Thanks. It's been great to be here.